In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
For the sound quality, I'm sure that the technical department is working on that. Praise God. It's my joy to introduce the theme of the year. It's our culture to dedicate every first service to help us understand what God has given. Prophetic words are not statements of pressure from men of God because others are doing it. Hallelujah. Every prophetic word that is declared in this ministry is a word that comes from the bowels of intimacy with the Spirit. They are not suggestions. If God doesn't say anything, we don't have to give a word just because it's a new year. Praise the Lord. And I was excited personally. I had to pray this into my life, believing the word of God. The word of God that is spoken is not what will bring results. It is the word of God that is believed. The spoken word has potentials for power, but is barren in itself until it comes into a heart that is full of faith. The Bible calls it a good soil. There are bad soils. The seed may not be bad, but in the parable of the sower, the Bible teaches us that the soil can be bad, and that even among the good soils there are three kinds of results: 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Hallelujah. I'll start tonight by, we'll be very fast. God will grant us grace in Jesus' name. Let's examine the verses that have served as a basis. Let me teach you something up front. It doesn't matter what you hear from God or hear from the Spirit. You must have a scripture that validates and verifies it. Otherwise, no matter how accurate it is not worthy of your believing. Is that true? That you heard from God does not mean you just carry a word and give people. There must be a scriptural reference. The Bible is a compendium of God's character. It reveals to us how God works. Are we together now? You may not directly find a verse that talks about everything, but you can find a verse that agrees with this, that this is consistent. It is the way God will behave. Are we together now? So when we give scriptures, this is not just some kind of debate. No. It is that our faith will not rest on the wisdom of men. You can believe that this is a year of signs and wonders just because you respect the man that said he had God. But I'm switching you from much more than just believing in my hearing God to believing the integrity of God's word. Because it is the word that will cause God to be committed in your life. Hallelujah. Psalm 77, please. Four scriptures very quickly. Psalm 77 and verse 14 to 15. I hope the media is ready for us. Psalm 77 and verse 14 to 15. Psalm 77 verse 14 and 15. It's projected. Can we read together? One to read. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among thy people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The Bible says that God is the doer of wonders. Thou art the God that doeth wonders, not speaketh wonders, not suggesteth. It is an office in God. Among the many things he is, there is a name that he is the God that can do wonders. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 20 to 22. If we can have that in Amplified, that will be fine. Very powerful scripture. When I found this scripture, it blessed me in no small way. And I hope that it will bless you. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 20 to 22, Amplified. It says, who wrought signs and wonders? Let's read together. In the land of Egypt, and even to this day continues to do so, both in Israel and among other men, and made for yourself a name as it is this day. You go ahead. Israel out of the land of Egypt with what? Signs and wonders, with a strong hand and outstretched arm, and with great terror. 22. And you gave them this land which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Not only is he a God that does wonders, that he can deliver men through signs and wonders. And in case, you know, I like the way the Bible puts it, because many people will look at this as a historical book and say, oh, God did it before. But it says he continues to do so, not just in ancient Israel, but even among his people. Exodus chapter 15. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 11. Exodus 15 verse 11. We sing it in hymns, we sing it in our praise worship songs, but a few people have taken out time to look at the revelation that is in this verse. Let's read it together. One to read. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee? You are glorious in holiness, you are fearful in praises. Doing, not did wonders, doing is something you have not stopped. You've made up your mind to continue doing it. Doing,
who is like unto you. Some people did wonders before, but they died and it stopped. It says, you are not only glorious in holiness, you are not only fearful in praises, that you are doing wonders. One last scripture, Acts chapter 5 and verse 12 to 16. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12 to 16. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12 to 16. Want to read? And by the hand of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. We're reading to verse 16. And of the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. And laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing. The last verse. Bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed. How many?
Everyone.
The sign is not the healing. The sign is everyone. The healing was not commonplace, but this dimension that every single one comes with a challenge and every single one returns. This one is more than a healing. It is a sign. It is a message. Are we together now? Write this down. What are signs and wonders? Very quickly, just to give us a little foundation. Signs and wonders are supernatural manifestations of God's power. Really, they are miracles, signs and wonders. Supernatural manifestations of God's power by which God demonstrates his ability to save, to deliver, to preserve, and to prosper his people. I'll take it again. Signs and wonders are supernatural manifestations of God's power by which he, God, demonstrates his ability to save, to deliver, to preserve, and to prosper his people. Manifestations of God's power that are statements. They demonstrate his ability. They validate his ability to save, to heal, to preserve, to prosper his people. Another definition: signs and wonders are tokens or representations of the omnipotence of God. Signs and wonders are tokens. A token is a representation. They are representations of the omnipotence, the almightiness, all powerfulness of God. They are manifestations of God's power. They are tokens or representations of his omnipotence. Now, all through scripture, when you read down from Genesis to Revelation, you see that the Bible is full of the strange acts of God, signs and wonders, mighty works of God. Right from Genesis down to Revelation, the Bible is full of God doing mighty things in and among his people and through his people to the earth. The subject of signs and wonders is not a subject that should be strange to believers, because Christianity in itself was founded upon this mystery of signs and wonders. Hallelujah. I missed one more definition. Let me add to you if you care. Signs and wonders are pointers to a dimension of God that he wants the world and the saints to experience. signs and wonders are pointers to a dimension of God that He wants the world and the saints to experience. They are pointers to a dimension of God that He wants the world and the saints to experience. Very, very powerful. Like I said earlier on, the Bible is full of signs and wonders. The way God made man in Genesis, the way God made the plants, the mystery that happened in Laban's house with Jacob, Joshua commanding the sun to stand still, the walls of Jericho, the parting of the Red Sea, the parting of the Jordan, all kinds of miracles that happen in the Bible. The miraculous outstretched arm of God to restore the economy of a nation overnight. Mighty things the Bible records that God did in His people and through His people. There are two Greek words that I want us to just walk with very quickly. The Bible is an interplay of a lot of Greek words, and in the New Testament particularly, there are two Greek words that are translated signs and wonders. The first is the word semeion. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. 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 It literally means a sign, an evidence of a divine commission. The word semeion is a Greek word. It means an evidence of a divine commission, an attestation of a divine message. The word semeion that is translated sign refers to miracles by which God authenticates the men sent by Him and the missions directed by Him. Give us Acts chapter 16 and verse 17 to 18. We find an expression there. Jesus Himself was speaking about the church. Acts chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Mark. Mark 16. I beg your pardon. Mark 16. Wonders, miracles by which God authenticates men and missions. Not just men. The man can be sent by God, but the assignment he's embarking on is not by God. So God would defend the man and leave the assignment alone. It matters that both the man and mission are sent by God. He says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. And these signs, and these signs, and these signs. He would have said, and these miracles, the signs are miracles, but they have messages attached to them, and the messages have to be discerned. They are pointers. He says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The Bible says these things are not just miracles, they are signs. They authenticate, among other things, that God is with that individual. Are we together? Now, a man can fake some of them, but whoever has all of them working in him is a validation. There are aspects of these signs that cannot be faked. You see, let me tell you something with Satan. The operation of Satan is such that he can take part of a truth and use it to destroy. But the test is the ability to convey the whole counsel of God, not part of it. Are we together now? When Satan came and met Eve, what he said was not entirely a lie. It was truth that was aberrated. When he came and met Jesus, it was not a lie. But there was a motif behind it, an attempt to destroy Jesus. So he says, when you see all these signs happen to an individual, you can fake tongues, you can fake healing the sick, but when a viper beats you, you see that one, That one is not, you can't pretend that one. You can act drama, praying in tongues. You can't act drama of snake biting you and then nothing happens. And you see, the serpent is talking about here is first physical, then prophetic. Are we together? Yes. First physical, he says that I give you authority to tread upon snakes and scorpions. Not a little scorpion. You don't need all that to kill a scorpion and carry a shoe and kill it. But he's talking about scorpion, wicked demonic entities that plague the lives of people per second. Are we together? It is possible. These are the same mysteries that the psalmist said they are arrows that fly by day. That a man can be moving and something can make contact with your spirit man. But there is an immunity that have been built, like Paul. They looked at him, they said, you have sinned against the gods. Let's watch. After a while, when they saw nothing, they said, this guy, you are a god. You are not normal. That's a sign. There is a message conveyed in it. That there are bodies that are terrestrial, but there are also other bodies that are celestial. And that even among the stars, one differed from another in glory. Signs. The second word is the word that is called terata. T-E-A-R-T-A. T-E-A-R-T-A. That's the word that is translated wonders. Terata. T-E-A-R-T-A. Is a word that the Bible translates in English in the New Testament as wonders. And let me tell you what it means. It literally means wonder-causing events. Wonder-causing events. No wonder Bishop Oyedepo says wonder is what makes you wonder. It really is the meaning. That's the definition. Wonder-causing events. Events that are so notable, your pride cannot stand it. You know, there are things that happen and people assume I've seen this one before. A wonder is what will compel you to react and respond over that situation. There is a way God blesses you that you claim, oh God, I just give you thanks casually. You've done this before, just like it came yesterday. But there is a way God blesses you that you become too grateful to keep quiet. Is that true? Wonder-causing events that produce astonishment in the beholder. Wonder-causing events that produce astonishment in the believer. Mark chapter 5 and verse 40 to 42. Please give it to us. Mark chapter 5 and verse 40 to 42. Wonder-causing events that cause astonishment. And they laughed at him to scorn. This is Jesus about to walk not just a miracle, but a wonder. The Bible says they laughed at him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. We are reading to 42. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. 42. And straightway the damsel arose. Remember, they were laughing before that time. And walked, and she was of the age of 12 years, and they were all astonished. Some versions say with great wonder. They were astonished with a great astonishment. A wonder was released in heaven, and the Bible says there was silence for 30 minutes because of the gravity and the magnitude. There are things that God is going to be doing in our lives, brothers and sisters, that people will come and stand here and not be able to testify. And listen, nobody will drive them, because the silence is the testimony. That someone will stand and say, I have always known God would do this, but not in this dimension. When God wants to give a wonder, he waits till your enemies gather. He won't do it in their absence. He allows them to gather, and while they are talking and say Jesus died, they see the resurrected Jesus. They are talking about he's dead and he has risen. No blood in his body, but still walking. wonder. Are we together? It's not he's been alive. He's been alive without blood. It's a wonder. He said, touch me. Bring bread. Let me eat. But the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. So how are you living? What are you breathing? Do you have lungs? He said, I'm giving you another life. As my Father has sent me, that there is a possibility that you are immune to certain things. If Jesus did it in heaven, we'll understand. In this territory, I believe the word of God. Wonder events. Wonder. God has already done great things. Koinonia is a family that we have seen humbling dimensions of his wonder. But brothers and sisters, you are not ready for what God is about to do. Believe me, you are not ready for what God is about to do. We have seen God gather crowds without posters. It's not publicity. It's a wonder. It's a wonder. There is no single handbill. There is no single poster to put in your car. It's a mystery, my brother. I have read church history. I have read revivals. Men are not idiots. There is a force that draws them. We have seen the wonders of God. 71,000 followers on Facebook not being on air, one with no video release, is a wonder. The message is going everywhere regardless of people. Having self-appointed evangelists running around these messages, they have never been here, but they move from nation to nation. It's not a miracle, it's a wonder. There are statements in them. I am the God who can do as I please. Are we together? Wonder causing events that produce astonishment. Astonishment. Mark chapter 7, verse 37. Let's hurry up. Mark chapter 7 and verse 37. Mark 7, 37. The Bible says, and they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all things well. How many things? Let me tell you, when every area of your life goes well, it's a wonder. Because it's not supposed to be the story of people. Naaman's situation is how men live. There must be something in their life that has a K-leg. But my God is saying in this season, there's something. I'm leaving the ones I have touched and saying, where is the area in your life that mocks me? I want to make a statement in your life. They said, he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He has done all things well. Done all things well. Oh, we are wealthy but no child. When the God of wonders shows up. Look at what the prophet said. When the prophet was speaking to the Shunammite woman, he said, watch, what is wrong? I know the ones that are right. Let's focus on where there is an issue. Do you want me to talk to the governor? He said, no, I live among my people, and the servant discerned. He said, this woman is a great woman. However, there is an issue in her life. And the prophet said, by this time, according to the time of life, I program a possibility in your life that you will carry a child. The God of wonders, not just the God of miracles. If you don't believe the God of wonders, get set to be part of this weeping holocaust that is humbling the pride of people. There is a God of wonders. There is a God of wonders. Let me tell you, science will fail men in this season. The theories that have been built for decades that attempt to compete with God will bring people to their knees. But there are people that God will arise on their case. And he will say, I have always known God can bless. That what God will do in your life will make somebody come and apologize. And say, I am sorry, I didn't believe in you. Let me confess. I know you were part of Koinonia, but if they told me this, what God will do in your life, I won't believe it. He said, I will walk a walk in your days. That if you were told, you will not believe. Listen, brothers and sisters, let me borrow the words of Bishop David Oyedepo. God is changing people's levels in a way and a dimension that will surprise you. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's not a lie. This is what God can do. What is the purpose of signs and wonders? Why do we need them? So much so that God would declare that a whole year is dedicated to experiencing that dimension of Him. What is the purpose of signs and wonders? I want you to know that signs and wonders have a specific purpose in kingdom advancement. There is a role that only signs and wonders can play in kingdom advance. A few of them. Number one, to believers and to unbelievers, I'm going to tell you now. To those who believe, who already know that Jesus is alive and they have tasted of His power and His unfailing love, signs and wonders become to them a consolation of their faith in God. Are we together? The purpose of signs and wonders. There are many preachers that mock believers for looking for signs and wonders, and they say believers should be the proof producers. I agree. But the fact that you are a proof producer does not mean you should not be a benefactor. No matter what dimension you get to in God, God still remains a God of signs and wonders to those whose hearts are open. There needs to be a consolation to your Christian experience. They kept seeing the miracles of Jesus in the nation of Israel, and I thought He would say, I've shown you enough. But every time, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Why wouldn't He say, think about yesterday's own? Signs and wonders, consolations to my faith, that I believed God, I trusted Him to move in this dimension, and He arose in majesty and made a name for Himself through my life. That's a sign and a wonder. The signs and wonders are produced on earth by God through believers. But they are not just for unbelievers. Believers also, like the husbandman being the first partaker, believers are not only producers of signs and wonders, they are also benefactors of the same. To unbelievers, what is the purpose of signs and wonders? It is the physical expression of God's power, God's love, and God's goodness, creating convictions in them and ultimately leading them to Jesus. I'll take it again. To unbelievers, what is the purpose of signs and wonders? It is the physical expression of God's power, love, and goodness, creating convictions in them and ultimately leading them to Jesus. Unbelievers need a manifestation of signs and wonders from and by God through believers, first in their lives and then through them to affect unbelievers. Why? Because they need to be convicted and they need to come to Jesus. Now please look up. Signs and wonders in themselves do not produce transformation. Only the Word of God in partnership with the Holy Spirit can produce conviction. Because when you read in the Gospels, they saw all kinds of miracles. Yet, when Jesus resurrected, the Bible says some doubted, even among His disciples. They saw the dead rise, they multiplied loaves, some of them were the ones who packed the bread, yet they ran away. So signs and wonders in themselves, now this is the balance, signs and wonders in themselves do not produce transformation. If all a believer sees is signs and wonders, you get a job, you get a new promotion, God opens up a door for you, you step into unusual levels of the anointing, as powerful as that is, there are people that will still not be transformed by it. However, signs and wonders support your journey to creating convictions. when you watch signs and wonders at work, they probe your convictions. And all the insult in the name of God and insult of the body of Christ, all of a sudden signs and wonders bring you to a point as a believer where your convictions are strengthened, and as an unbeliever creates in you the need to surrender your heart to Jesus. Write this down. All manifestations of signs and wonders must lead to the harvest of souls and the establishment of men and women in the things of God. All manifestations of signs and wonders, genuine manifestations of signs and wonders, they must lead people, it must lead to a harvest of souls, and it must establish people in Christ. No matter what happens in your life, if it does not lead to these two things, then it is profitless. The message behind signs and wonders is that they are, it is a system of attraction, much more than a statement God is making through it. He's drawing the lost to himself, and he's keeping the saints to be established in him. Hallelujah. When people go to a herbalist, number one, they are not committed to the herbalist. They go there to see signs. They sit down and say, "Mr. Man, I have a problem, do something for me." And all of a sudden, a chicken appears from the air and he holds it and keeps it down. What do we call that? That's not a discussion, it's a sign. And by that sign, the two people were discussing whether they made a mistake coming to this herbalist. And all of a sudden, by that manifestation, they find grounds to convince themselves that we're in the right place. Is that true? So when someone comes for koinonia, and while he's hearing the word, he's wondering, "Well, I've had this thing before. Is this what is going to give us all of this thing? What is all this?" And all of a sudden, while he's talking, a vision is open for him, and he's seeing his barren wife with twins. He keeps quiet by himself and he says, "Continue the statement." He said, "No, I saw something that has challenged me." It's amazing that when believers gather like this, you would think everybody believes what you believe until God grants you access to their minds. There are people who, before they come for koinonia, they tell God certain things and say, "Lord, you better give me a sign. I've hated every man of God, and I hope that I won't hate this one too." And while they are sitting down, right from opening prayer, fire on the mountain. Some, the sign is that they find themselves on the floor. What happened? They get up and they are trying to be arrogant, and then it happens again. Then it happens the third time. Then they give up and lie down there. And God says, "This is holy ground." They get up quietly. Now, it's not that God wants to just throw people. It's that to that person, it happened before his unbelieving father or mother. And then the guy goes back. The next time he sees people falling around, he says, "Don't insult everybody. There are exceptions. God is still mighty. He can make it happen." Signs. I remember, I think we were in Jos. Maybe this was 2016 or thereabout. When Jos, I was ministering in one of the polytechnics. And while I was ministering, you know, the power of God, people were getting healed, getting saved, getting delivered. And the Holy Spirit ministered to me and said, "There are a number of people here who are doubting if this thing is really working. And those people themselves are not feeling fine. So I want to heal them now." You see, that's no longer a miracle. That is a sign. And then the Lord said, "Announce it first before I heal them." And I said, "There are people here who are doubting this thing, and it may not be your fault. You came from a background where it's a norm to doubt everything that is supernatural, and the Lord is healing you now." And there was a gentleman who got healed. I can't remember what he got healed from. Very spectacular miracle. And then when he came to the front, he said, honestly, "Let me confess, if not that this thing has happened to me, now I will go back believing that this man played, you know, games and all of that." Signs. It's good to clap for somebody, but when the miracle comes to your own house, he said, "That which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which our hands have handled, This is the dimension I'm trusting that God will take us to. Because some of the things we teach, it has not happened to some of us. So you don't hate it, but you don't exactly believe it. When we say favor, you don't hate it, but you don't exactly believe it. The anointing, you don't hate it, but you don't exactly believe it. But when it happens through your hands or to your life, you don't care who doesn't believe you again. It's a conviction. Signs and wonders are important because according to scriptures, I wrote down a few things here. They have always been God's strategy and instrument of deliverance from oppression and slavery. Every time God's people are in any kind of oppression or slavery, the instruments that God uses to bring the people out of it, it's called signs and wonders. One of our texts, Jeremiah 32, from verse 21 to 22, it says, "Thou broughtest them out of Egypt by signs and wonders." Signs and wonders are instruments of deliverance. Number two, signs and wonders are validations to the power, the might, and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Signs and wonders are validations to the power, the might, and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Give us Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and verse 36. Let's look at it quickly. Acts chapter 2, verse 22 and verse 36. Thank you, Jesus. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by what?" Help me, read on. "A man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know." So, Jesus, a man approved of God. Signs, wonders, miracles. Verse 36. It says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus that was approved with signs and wonders, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Signs and wonders validate the lordship of Christ. They validate the lordship of Christ. The Bible says, listen carefully. It says that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It doesn't mean you don't eat and drink in God's kingdom, but it's not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that true? And then, I'm not sure that's the scripture. What's the scripture? The demonstration, thank you. The demonstration of, quote that scripture for me. That your faith will not be in the wisdom of men. Many of you don't know how to quote scriptures. You are looking at me and hoping those in front will help you quote it. You better learn scriptures. See how clueless some people are. I just know that Jesus is Lord. That's bad. That's bad for a believer. Don't do that kind of laissez faire Christianity. Whilst it is not the quoting of the scripture that releases power, but it gives the Holy Spirit the tools with which to walk in you. Hallelujah. Yes. No, the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. Demonstration of power. Oh, that's it. God bless you. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And then it says that your faith, am I right? That's, yes, "should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let me tell you something. There's too much talk in the body of Christ. There needs to be validations of these claims. Otherwise, a time will come when they will just classify us as noisemakers, that we say God can heal, God can bless, God can prosper. Elijah called the people up to Mount Carmel and said, look, we've been talking for a very long time. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. Very simple. If Baal be God, let him prove himself. If the God of heaven be God, let him prove himself. You start. And the people gathered round and danced and caught themselves till evening. And Elijah mocked them. He said, shout louder, I'm sure he's sleeping. And when it was time, he brought 12 stones and put water and did all of that and called on heaven, and God came. The Bible says the fire came, licked the sacrifice, licked the water and everything. And it was demonstrated as a sign in Israel that the God of heaven was and is God indeed. There are people we need to silence, not by argument and debate, but by a strange manifestation of the hand of God in our life. That someone looks at you and says, all these Koinonia people, is because you are jobless. Then God gives you a job that is the prayer point of someone for 10 years. And you become committed with it. And God says, it's not because they are jobless. It's because they love me. Are we together? Are you ready for these dimensions of God this year? Three keys to commanding signs and wonders. This is very important. This is where your own role comes in. There must be a path that shows you your own contribution. Three keys. Number one, the first key, if you want to truly experience and command signs and wonders, is intimacy with God. The first key, non-negotiable intimacy with God. Through prayers, through the study of the word, and through worship. Listen, during my retreat, the Lord spoke to me and said that believers must restore the altar of worship. We have restored the altar of prayer, but we have not restored the altar of personal worship. Very few believers understand the mystery and the power of prayer. And we preachers are the ones who have caused it. We have made it look like if you are praying and I'm worshiping and I can't hear any noise from your own end, you are wasting God's time. So we pride ourselves in the dissipation of energy for a long time to mean that that is necessarily a sign of making spiritual contact. No, sir. The ministry of personal worship. In church, we praise God. In church, we worship God. But most people have been robbed of the revelation of intimacy through worship. There is intimacy through prayer. There is intimacy through encounter with the Word. But there is intimacy through worship. There is no one man on earth that works mightily under the influence of the anointing that does not understand the mystery of the altar of worship. Intimacy with God. Please hear me. God is not a magician. This is the year you must engage in being close to God. This Christianity of today, I am close to God, tomorrow I'm not serious with God, I say God is not, you know that I don't have a job. You must make up your mind this year that Lord, it is me and you, not just me and your power alone. Intimacy with God. There are people who have been in church, maybe some Koinonia, for years. They don't know God. They don't know anything about God. Where are you going? And they go to church. And when you finish, where are you coming from? From service. Say, you mean you're a worker in that church? That's all we join, honestly, at least. They do have small. That statement is an ungodly statement. This is the year you will bury that statement in the name of Jesus Christ. The average believer, listen to me, the average believer should be on fire for God, not for the purpose of ministry, for your own good. Let me tell you the truth. The deeper and thicker the darkness, the more you must define where you stand with God. There is no vagueness. No. You know, they have this sarcasm towards believers that the more we are outspoken about our love for God, the more we fail in life. Is that true? So this becomes the basis for being ashamed. When they are talking of poor people, they say this poor guy who loves God. When they are talking about certain, so many of us don't want to show our zeal and passion. We love God, but when you come where there are other people, you just say, "Ah, yeah, I don't overdo. God knows I do my thing. Even God knows that." And then we find all kinds of scriptures in the Bible that says, "Don't know, be over righteous." I say, "Prove this." That some of those things are proofs of people who don't want to know God. Is that true? If I come to Pastor Alpha's house, listen, there are certain rooms in that house I will never have access to until I get to a depth of relationship that qualifies me to enter there. Is that true? I may sit in the parlor there forever, but there are times that I may know him and we may want to discuss something very secret. How many of you have seen parents or loved ones, or some of you, when you want to discuss some serious issues, you just, out of five people, you call only one. And then the person enters and you, even in the bedroom, you sit at the side that the window is outside and you are discussing critical matters. The secret things of the Lord is with them that fear him. It's not just being afraid, priority. Please let me drum it, brothers and sisters, that if you want to experience signs and wonders that will last, you must work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't doubt that many of us are born again, but I don't see the priority of the kingdom. When you are intimate with God, it will show. You read your Bible Friday to Friday, you are not intimate with God. Don't say it does not matter. Prayer until you hear something on your zinc, then you stand up, play one koinonia message, altar of prayer, and back it up with one fearful tongues for 10 minutes and lie down. You are not walking in faith. He spake a parable, Luke 18 verse 1, to the end that men ought always, always, always to pray. Listen, this year, I know the kind of people Satan is looking for. Lukewarm and careless Christians. To take like a prey and destroy their lives. Take it from me. Do you know, the Lord gave me a revelation during my retreat that surprised me. He said, "Son, there are many people I wanted to bless, but that their prayer life cannot sustain the attack that will come on account of that level of blessing. So I help them by withholding it." Listen, this is true. That there are certain, every dimension of glory comes with a dimension of attack. And much more than your gift, God looks at your spiritual life. If I give this guy 10 million naira and the spirits that eat up people comes, does he have the capacity to sustain it? It's not the issue of God give me, God give me. The Bible says God will never allow any temptation to be greater than us. And part of the way is withholding certain blessings. When God told me that thing, I started praying for myself first. I said, only God knows what dimension I would have entered that God withheld because my spiritual life had not gotten to that level. Listen, if you are lukewarm, be sure of experiencing triumph and remaining there alone. But if it is signs and wonders, please upgrade your passion. Upgrade your zest for God. Not come to the house of God today, come 2 months later when there is problem. No. No. The first prize. Are we blessed? Intimacy with God. Genuine intimacy. Create a routine of prayer. Create a routine of studying the word. Create a routine of worship. Those of you that God has blessed with televisions, turn them into preachers, not entertainment platforms. Am I against watching films? You know my position. I'm not against it. You can watch your movie, whether Western or Nigerian or whatever, but let me tell you the truth.
If you really want to press for signs and wonders, you better get a flash drive and put messages and worship songs. Slot it at the back of your TV. That sometimes you can be in your room or your house or wherever and let that sound of worship just arise. You are creating a climate for God. This is the price for signs and wonders. Hallelujah. If in your group of friends you are the most spiritual, it's a sign something is wrong with you. Because the day your spiritual life is down and you have no one to pitch you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, especially for those of us in ministry, this year, schedule a strong backup system. A strong backup system that while you preach and dispense the word of God, there must be a system, not just during retreats, not just during retreat. It must be a daily system that replenishes you. Otherwise, you may not make the journey in the level of strength that you want. Is God speaking to us? Intimacy with God. Does intimacy with God pay? My goodness. My goodness. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. There are people who gave up their intimacy with God to look for money. There are people who gave up their intimacy with God to look for power. There are people who gave up their intimacy with God to look for fame. No, sir. Anything His presence cannot give you is not available. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter, listen, and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Because ignorant and unlearned people should not be commanding that kind of result. It says, and they took knowledge of them. What was their secret? That they had been with. That's the secret to their boldness. They said, it's true, we didn't have the opportunity to be educated. We cannot brag on education, but I have been with Him. Listen, when you truly are with Him, it will show in your life. You don't have to say, see me. No, there is an aura, there is a fragrance that His presence carries. May you carry that presence this year. Listen, I can know in a second that a man is intimate with God. It's not by prayer, it's not by having a husky voice. There is a presence like a perfume. It's a signature of the secret place. I can hear you speak and I know that this is not your revelation. You just read something online and you are preaching. I can hear you speak and I know that this guy, you may even work miracles, but brothers and sisters, covet presence, covet presence, covet presence. Has nothing to do with being a preacher. Covet the presence of God. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, His awesome presence fills my life. Consuming fire, sweet perfume, Your awesome presence fills this place. You are transacting business, but there is such a presence. A man has been oppressed, cannot sleep in the night, but because you carry a heavy dimension of the presence, that person will walk away and lie down and find out that that night he slept with no oppression. You didn't pray. You introduced an atmosphere. Covet presence. As a man of God, you don't carry presence. You are not a preacher. You are not a preacher. A preacher is not just one who announces. A preacher is one who brings his climate, his atmosphere into a place. Are we together? Please, let me tell you this. Take it from me. If you want God to use you, please, I can beg you, don't give up the presence of God for anything in your life. Don't give up the presence of God. Not for money, not for titles. Pray and say, Lord, grant me the grace to be addicted to your presence. Lift your voice and pray. 1 minute. Lord, I want to be addicted to your presence. It's where I find strength. It's where I find courage. Your presence. My place of refuge. My place of ideas. That's where I receive inspiration. That's where I experience the ministry of the Comforter. In your presence. That's where I receive strength. That's where I receive strategies. Hallelujah. Some of the ideas you see by God's grace that we run this ministry with came in the secret place, the presence. Listen, let me teach you something about having time with God. Take it easy, Mike. There are times, learn to be alone. Some of us, our lives are too busy to know God. Learn to walk around in your room alone. You know the way you are talking with somebody. I do that a lot. I'm just walking and talking. Lord, you know the other day we were talking about this. Thank you, Jesus. I can be walking like that for hours. I'm not necessarily praying like generating energy. There are times for that. But this is a love affair. I'm talking with God. Thank you, Jesus. And sometimes that mighty presence comes. Sometimes I cannot even stand. It is the effulgence of that presence that we bring to the stage. There are many presence-less preachers, presence-less prayer coordinators, revelation hackers who pack revelation after revelation, couple it together, and hope that it will give power. God is not a herbalist. Please look, seek His presence. Without God's presence, what do I have to offer you? Because you see, it's not everything you teach people that will be new. It is the presence that makes it fresh. Presence. You want signs and wonders in your life? Please make out time for God's presence. I want you to identify the things that represent distractions in your life and deal with them this year. They may not be bad, but they are weights. Some of us is noise making. Noise making is what has evicted the presence of God in your life. Talkativeness. Take that time to the secret place. Some of us need to coordinate our mornings properly. Some of us is careless time. You are a young man, you wake up 11 o'clock every day. You won't know God, my brother. You have missed a rich pie of the day to know God. Many of us never practice personal vigils. You can do church vigils and claim to a personal when you are alone with God. The excellency and the richness and the freshness of power that is gotten in His presence. You are there spending time with God, and God is winning battles for you. You finish from that presence and come out, and you meet testimonies lined up like an assembly. Testimony after testimony. Many of us don't know how to win battles. When men insult you, you have nowhere to run to. Create similitudes of altars, not by building monuments, but find exact locations. I've taught you the law of consistency. Don't meet with God just anywhere. You won't know Him that way. No. God is obsessed with location. Carve out a place that becomes your place with you and God. If you don't have access to a house or a room, why don't you find a location somewhere? Let's be honest with ourselves and be serious and make this thing work this year. Seek His face, and the effulgence of His glory will rub up on you. And my brother, my sister, your life will be a compendium of signs and wonders. Number two, the second key to commanding signs and wonders is faith. 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 What is faith? Conviction plus obedience. Faith is not conviction alone, that's believing. Faith is the name given to the action you take based on your conviction of who God is and what His word has said. You want to experience signs and wonders? You must believe God this year. John 11 verse 40. John 11 and verse 40. John 11 and verse 40. Signs and wonders. Let's read together. One to read. Jesus said unto her, Sayeth I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. The glory of God are for those who believe God. You must work on your conviction. The foundation of Bible faith is understanding. It is understanding that creates conviction. You need faith to command signs and wonders. You need to believe in God. Listen, look at me. Many believers don't get miracles in their lives because we live in a society where cynicism sells, where doubt sells. Is that true? We are always thinking, what if it's a lie? What if it never happened? What if this person were lying? You better come to a point this way where you believe that everything God says He will do, He will do. Is that true? So if we say God is going to bless Sam, come Sam. That God is going to bless you, it's up to you to choose to believe it. Or just say amen and then go back after koinonia and talk as if you don't know Jesus Christ. Is that not what people do after service? They jump and shout and you see them praying. Then they start laughing at themselves when they are going back home. As if they were acting. Bros, I saw you praying. As if that prayer is acting. And then the person feels ashamed for being serious with the prayer. Why are we like this? We're in church, we hear the word and we believe it. We get back home and talk rubbish and nonsense, ungodly things. Did you hear that lady's testimony? The way I was looking at her eyes, I think she was lying. What is your business? If she was lying, release your faith and say, I can get the truth of that testimony. Instead of saying it cannot happen. I believe God to move this ministry to a new dimension. I believe God to move my life to a new dimension. The mockers will always bury their head while God keeps performing signs on those who believe. The Bible says, blessed is she that believes. For unto her, not unto them, unto her, this is a personal affair. There shall be a performance of those things that were spoken. I believe it. That Lord, if you are going to bless me, if you want to lift up my life and change my story, I stand with you believing. Like Abraham, the devil will come in with his rubbish as usual and say, look, I hope you know that there are many people who are being owed salary and arrears. How do you want to build a house this year? And then a scripture fires out of you. They got not the land in possession by their own hands, neither did their sword save them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. You look at yourself, I'm 40 years. Will any man really like me? And God says, just wait and let me surprise you. And God will bring a brother as if he was charmed and just come and say, sister, let's go and see your parents. Say, if you are playing, don't play. How can I be playing? Do I look like I'm playing? Let's go and see your parents. And while the rest are laughing at you, in 3 months you are settled and you keep watching their lives and they say, this bad girl. And God says, never call unclean what I have called clean. While you are there talking nonsense, God is lifting people. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, there are people today, you are paying their transport, that they will be the ones sponsoring people by the end of this year. As young people, I'm not talking of some visions in 10 years. It is unto you in this kingdom, not according to the preacher's words, according to your faith. I believe God. So you have an assignment to build your faith. Faith does not grow by itself. Please listen. You don't grow just by sitting down. You eat, correct? You eat. You don't ask the food, which part of my body are you going to? Don't worry. Your own is continue having access to the food, and you'll see that you are growing. That's how your faith grows. Listen, let me tell you. This is the year I want to encourage you. Avoid naysayers. Avoid faith killers. You finish believing God and you finish 3 days dry over an issue, and you come and meet a brother and he laughs, hey, open that in it. Let's look at you. You said you are stupid. This is what you are fasting about, and they kill your faith. We have been taught that there are some things God cannot do. Just believe God, and then when you perish, we can come and comfort you. But not before. Listen, I want you to enlarge your faith for big things this year. Don't just sit down and say, God, do this. No, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. Work on my faith. I'm ready to keep bringing you the word of God that will keep building your faith. There are so many things we are going to learn this year. But that God will grant us grace to believe it. Hold on, Mike. Listen. Please, I want you, those listening inside, outside, online, let us stop double-mindedness. In church, this is what I believe. We call it church mind. I don't know where that is in Bible. Then after you come out of church, we now have the secular, satanic, carnal and ungodly mind that has never worked. Why change your convictions? It's better for me to know you don't even believe this aspect. It will help me to encourage you than to join those who you are there, you don't believe it, but you are joining the group of people with convictions. You will find out that you will never get the result. Say, I receive grace to believe God. Say it again, I receive grace to believe God. And the key is to meditate on His word. You don't meditate on newspapers and cynical statements online. You don't meditate on gist. We were having a discussion when I went home to see my parents. Maybe let me just add it a little. And we're discussing the need for God to help ladies in saloons. Saloon is one place that is a wonderful place for making hair, but it is it's a chamber that can program unbelief. Now, please, with all due respect to hairstylists, I love you. Please, may God bring members to your saloon. But let me tell you this. Listen, this is the first service. It's too early to be laughing anyhow. I'm establishing the word. There are many people who expose themselves to atmospheres that are antichrist. That is the real devil you should cast. Not just the one around in your village that has left sins. Atmospheres have been creating room for Satan. Must you visit the friends? If you don't have anything godly and serious to discuss, must you visit them? You can send them a text. How are you? It's been a while. Just to check up on you. God bless you. There are people on their way to church. Someone just holds them back. And then they don't come. The person has robbed you of an opportunity to learn. Say, I will work on my faith. Sam, if I gave you a property, will you take care of the property? Will you take care of the documents? If you saw someone coming to carry the documents, what will you do? You will stop the person. The Bible says, guard your heart. We are guarding land. We are guarding gold. We are guarding ATM. Look, you guard your ATM by getting a card for it. You now put it inside a bag. And the Bible says, guard your heart. And that's the one you leave it carelessly. Guard your heart with all diligence. We have guarded ATM. We have guarded land that we came and met and will go and live. We have guarded houses. We have guarded the little tea and bread that are around and made noise. We have guarded cars. We built a garage for cars and left your heart exposed. You see the wisdom of that is of this earth that comes to naught. Please say, I will guard my heart.
Guarding your heart doesn't mean to fight people, but to mark people who have a track record of killing your faith. They just see you rejoicing and say, why the joy? So the joy of the Lord is my strength. Say, I'm a Christian too. You better be real. That thing looks like an emotional, sociological statement, but the name is a faith killer statement. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sam. Number three, the last key. You want to command signs and wonders this year. Practice praise and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. I am learning many strange things about this dimension of God that is humbling me. With all humility, these are revelations that God has revealed to me, but I am learning in fresh ways the power of praise and the power of thanksgiving and the power of living a thankful life. Thanksgiving and living a thankful life are two different things. Thanksgiving is an event. You can dance in church, carry your handkerchief and not be thankful. I have a special teaching on thanksgiving. A little teaser to it. Thanksgiving, your communication of thanks must match the blessing given. The goal of thanksgiving is to create an impression in the giver that you understand the gravity of the sacrifice involved in giving that gift. There are times that saying thank you is not thanksgiving. It's too small for that kind of result. If I give you 10 naira, you say thank you. I give you 10,000, you say thank you. I give you 100,000, you say thank you. I give you 1 million, you say thank you. I give you 10 million, you say thank you. From 100 naira to 1 million, you are ungrateful. That thank you was only valid for 10 naira. You were supposed to make the other givings weightier in your communication of thanks. So many people just say, God, thanks. I forgot to tell you the other day. Look at how you saved me. And God said, is that the way you cried? Is that how you cried? Did you just cry casually? You cried as if your life will finish. And I opened you a door. And look how casual you are. Please practice a life, not a moment of thanksgiving. Fill a major portion of your prayer with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. Are you not the one who has delivered me from my enemies? There are many who would have prayed that I didn't see this year, but Lord, in their presence, you have honored me. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the other day. I was coming and a bike almost hit my car. I thank you. And God says, you are doing this to me. He said, God, I've not even finished. Wait. He said, what about your needs? He said, God, I know you are faithful. Just allow me, thank you. And God says, you don't need to ask again. Your thanksgiving has multiplied your result. Please learn to be thankful. It is something that I have embraced. Thanksgiving. Complaining and murmuring all through scripture attracted the wrath of God, not Satan. When people murmured before God, it was a sign of ingratitude. He punished them. God, you gave me bread. Wouldn't I have blue band here? And God will say, you are a wicked servant. I didn't just give you tea. I gave you bread. Just because there's no blue band, you are shouting as if you are hungry. Say, God, will I continue to eat bread like that? Is it not you that said the path of the just is as a shining light? And God says, look at your ungrateful heart. What happens if I give you a bakery? It means you will leave me and say, God, this was all what it was about. Now that I have a bakery, it's enough to feed me. Live a thankful life. Don't thank God generally. Be specific. Count your blessing. Name them not 10 by 10, 1 by 1. Lord, you gave me 5 children, no CS. Thank you. How is it such a big thing? Lord, thank you. Lord, it was just day before yesterday, I didn't have food to eat. And today, I even had to fetch 2 tears and give someone. Because a stranger I did not know just said, you assigned him. Somebody will tell you, God sent me. You won't turn back to the God and say, thank you. You told the messenger, thank you.
and God that sent the person, you left him like that till you have a knee. Say, God, the other day, how did I even escape my mind? And God said, what was there? What was there that it escaped your mind? Thank him. He gives you 10 naira. Say, thank you. Make it a big deal. God will say, all these dances for 10 naira. I say, yes, sir. Lord, I'm dancing. Some of you are dancing not because you are truly grateful. You are dancing because you have been taught it's a key to multiplication. So you really hate God. It's just that you are just doing it. Oh God, where is my daily bread? Apostle say, when you dance your way and you are done, and God is saying, please stop dancing. Don't make me a fool. I'm not an idol. I'm not a cow somewhere that they lifted up. I am God all by myself. Let your gratitude be genuine. That you say, Lord, I know in this process there is a blessing. But whether or not there is a blessing, I thank you. Say, I will be thankful. Be thankful to God and be thankful to men. Some of us, we close the door of favor by ourselves because of ingratitude. Please take this issue of gratitude seriously. Jesus healed 10 people. He was passing and healed 10 people. He stayed there, waiting to see who will come back. The 10 people were healed and they ran away. And one person said, we were supposed to die there unclean. But this one that God has done, this one, we return. And he said, were there not 10 of you? Where are the others? Take out time. If you can cry for problems, you should take out time to be lavish about thanksgiving. As a lifestyle, not just when it comes as an instruction here. Praise God and thank him. I live my entire life saying, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I am grateful. Not because of what he has done. Lord, I am grateful. Thank you for the workers. Thank you for my life. Thank you for your word all through this year. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 22. You can just write that as the scripture there. They began to sing and to thank the Lord and to say, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. And God began to set ambushment. We have emphasized this, that praise is powerful, but it must be from the heart. That's what makes it perfected praise, ordained praise. There is praise that is anointed. It's called perfected praise. There is praise that is rubbish. It's just selfishness. In 1 minute while you are seated, can you tell God, thank you? Let's just take a minute or two to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you enter 2018 grumbling. Someone died December 31st, but you enter 2018 grumbling as if the power is your own. Abba, let's be grateful. Some of you, you have been grateful but not enough to match the goodness of God in your life. Don't act as if it's a right. Thank you, Jesus. Learn gratitude to God and to men. Be lavish about gratitude. Take note of things that people do for you that you cannot do for yourself. Be very meticulous about it. Say, I'm not that kind of person. Learn it. You will close all kinds of doors being ungrateful. You can earn a living through gratitude. You can literally live off gratitude. Gratitude is a stream of income. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. Lord, you gave me a relationship and work out. Thank him. At least he gave you one. At least a guy was able to come into your life. Lord, I thank you. I have not built the house yet, but you gave me land. I thank you. Lord, I've not graduated yet, but at least I'm still a student. Thank you. We live in a society of gross ingratitude. Just take a minute and say thank you. How about some of you who have seen the anointing in your life in unusual ways? 2 years ago, you were not like this. But look what God has done in your life. Mighty dimensions of revelation. Mighty dimensions of the anointing. Now they invite you everywhere to be a blessing. Men have discerned the hand of God upon your life. It's a reason to say thank you. Don't just say I'm a man of God. Don't just say I'm a woman of God. Don't just say I'm a prayer warrior. How about people that God changed their financial status? No connection, no godfather, no godmother. I'm showing you why many of us do not see the signs of God in our lives. When you thank God, it looks like it's a burden to you. Jesus, thank you. How many graduates thank God? They complain about no job. They run their mouth from morning till night. Oh God, won't you give me a job? Have you ever carried your certificate to put it on the ground and roll over it and say, Lord, thank you. I wrote jam 10 times. It's a dream today that without any sponsor, I'm a graduate. We live in a generation that complains. Lord, I have a church of only 30 members. But you have people who have discerned your grace and they are listening to you. Lord, I don't have a job. Won't you change my story? You've not got a job for 1 year and you've not begged. Who has been the supplier of that? There are workers who have been on strike. There are workers whose salaries have not been paid for 6 months. In other states, some 1 year. Yet God has sustained them. And they don't have any other extra stream of income. It's been the Lord's doing. Make sure it is marvelous in your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. These three keys are the keys that God gave me. That if we will focus on being intimate with Him and believe Him enough to release our faith and to back it up with a life that is full of praise and thanksgiving, then brothers and sisters, you are ready to see the outstretched arm of God. His strange wonders in the midst of people. There are battles this year that you will not need to fight. This is, I believe with all my heart that this is one of those years that the Lord will say, this battle is not your own. Allow me. The Egyptians you see today, they are greater than you. You have already done your own battle by worshipping me. Leave me to fight them. That God will take you out of the battlefront and stand there and ask the enemy that has oppressed your family, face me now. They may not have the strength in themselves. Let me give you 11 instructions for this year and then we'll round up. Please write down these instructions and believe them. You don't have anything to write, type it in your phone. Men prosper in the kingdom on the strength of instructions. He says, my son, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from you. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Then he says, they are life to those who find them. Men rise in this kingdom through instructions. Transgressors are violators of instructions. Number one, very quickly, in this year 2018, make up your mind to love and seek the Lord passionately. Instruction number one. Love and seek the Lord passionately. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, prioritize God in your life this year. Prioritize God. Some of you, I congratulate you. At least you are better than the way you used to be, but you need to do more. You need to move closer to God. Pray for me, oh, as you are going to church. No. Love and seek the Lord passionately. Number two, serve the Lord this year wholeheartedly. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. You are a worker in this ministry. This is the time for you to pour your heart. Doesn't matter what department. You are not a worker in this ministry. Find a department and commit yourself. Commit yourself. Serve the Lord. Exodus 23 verse 25.
Exodus 23. I'm just running the instructions, but I just felt like giving you a scripture of this. It says, if they obey and serve me, if ye shall obey and serve the Lord your God, he shall do what? Bless thy bread, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. When you read 26, let's read 26. It says that there shall nothing cast a young nor be barren in the land. The number of your days I will fulfill. Serve God wholeheartedly, genuinely, genuinely. Coming to church is not serving God. Walking in the house of God is serving God. Number three, be passionate and intentional about bringing men to Jesus. Be passionate and intentional about bringing men to Jesus. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Be passionate and intentional about bringing men to Jesus. Read it with me. One, two, read. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars, even forevermore. Brothers and sisters, your heart must be passionate about bringing people to Jesus. Bringing people to Jesus is more than just winning souls. You are going to church, you don't go alone. Are we together? There's someone in your neighborhood. After evangelizing to him, another person will come. While you are talking, say, somebody has come. Say, it doesn't matter. I can continue from where he stopped. Let your life bring somebody to Jesus. Someone sits down and he tells you, look at the way my life is. I say, there's prayer meeting in Koinonia on Tuesday. Once in a while you can go. No, that's not evangelism. That's suggestion. Evangelism is my brother. Jesus Christ is able to help you. Look at what he made out of my life. And you talk to the person. And at the end of it, you ask the person, do you mind that I pray and lead you to Jesus Christ? Some of you, as I'm saying it, you are even shocked because you have not said this thing in years. It's not part of your dictionary. A profitable believer is one who brings harvest of souls and establishment of the same. Leave people and drag yourself. You are coming for miracle service. You are coming alone. Your entire loved ones are languishing in trouble. Be a true evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. You know a woman around your neighborhood, she has been barren. Madam, please, I don't have transport. No problem. I will pay your transport. That's evangelism. Hallelujah. Let's be serious about leading men to Jesus. Can I tell you the truth? All that we do in this life will end one day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anybody that leaves this earth without, nobody goes to hell for sinning. Everybody goes to hell for rejecting Jesus. That is what takes people to hell. It is not sin that takes people to hell. It is their rejecting Jesus. The propitiation, the substitute. So don't sit down. Some of us, our wives are not saved. Our husbands are not saved. This is the year to vet everyone's salvation. Start with your household. Don't sit down and say it doesn't matter. When I hear that someone has gone to be with the Lord, the first thing I ask is, did he die in Christ? If he died in Christ, I just say, then the only thing we are going to miss is just the physical fellowship. But brothers and sisters, let me be sincere with you. If you die without Christ, you will never be connected to Jesus again, as far as the Bible reveals to us. It matters that we make sure people, we give people business deals, wonderful. We give them jobs. I want you to preach. Use everything. Use your looks to preach. Hello? Use your credits to preach. Use your life. Don't say, me, I'm not a woman of God. I will keep sowing in Koinonia. Please. The urgency. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is gradually feeding in the area of conscious evangelism. I know we make altar calls in church, but that personal life, we pray for people, we intercede for people, but we watch people, they are not born again, we don't care. We call it being friendly. Start with those under your roof. Especially for those of us who have any form of influence. Nobody should be under my roof and not serve my God. No, sir. Don't say we don't want to offend anybody. It doesn't mean you just meet somebody, especially a non-Christian, and start harassing them. No, you can start by showing them the love of God. It doesn't have to be one day preaching. Intercede for your loved ones. Many people drop prayer requests here. Car, house, wife, husband. They never write the names of souls. And say, Father, by next miracle service, let this my father meet Jesus. Number four. Remain joyful and thankful. Fourth instruction. Quickly, we have 11 of them. Remain joyful and thankful. This is the year that you should never allow anything kill your joy. Not bad reports, not anything. Make up your mind to be joyful. Regardless of what happens, remain joyful. Don't allow your joy to be perturbed by circumstances. Remain unbending in your joy. Get up in the morning, you sing praises unto God. Lord, I love you. While you are doing that, immediately you get an alert. The interview went and were sorry to announce to you that you didn't get the job. Lord, it's all right. I know that this is painful, but I thank you. The admission list, first list came out. I even saw in my dream that I got admission. Now physically there's no admission. And then you cry because you are a human being. Jesus wept. But in the midst of the cry, find a song of merriment. Number what? Be strong in faith. Fifth instruction. Be strong in faith. Reject fear. Reject fear. Write it. Be strong in faith. Dash. Reject fear. The fear of evil report. The fear of death. The fear of not having a man to marry you. The fear of not having a woman to marry you. Hello? It's amazing how people walk with all these kinds of fear. Brothers, the fear of not being established, reject it. Sisters, the fear of marrying a poor man, or some of these nonsense fears that lead people to do demonic things, reject it. The fear of your church remaining at the same level. The fear of being destroyed. The Bible says, and to deliver them who through the fear of death have all their lifetime in subject. I know that all around the nation and around Africa, there are all kinds of upheavals happening. Reject fear. Reject fear. Reject fear. For God has not given me and you the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Please reject fear. Be strong in faith. Number six. This year 2018, be visionary and focused. Get serious with your life. It's an instruction. Write it down. Be visionary and focused for God's sake. Get serious with your life. Let this be the year that children become adults. Let this be the year that naive people grow up in their minds. Brothers, let this be the year that childishness is replaced with a life of diligence and discipline and maturity. My Bible says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. Many of us are still calling ourselves children. give yourself an orientation this year. I will no longer behave like a child. Brothers, sisters, everybody, behave. Is that true? Especially for those trusting God to settle down this year. Your life must show you are ready. Hello? Hold on, Mike. Your life must show you are what? Ready. Don't call into your life blessings you have not been equipped to receive and maintain. Don't call into your life blessings you are not ready to equip and maintain. Sister, if you are saying 2018 is my year of marital settlement, please do the needful. Be disciplined. Jumping around comes to an end. Hopping around people's houses to gossip comes to an end. Why? You are preparing to be a good wife. Don't see a child fall and you walk and you are trying to catwalk. No, you are acting like a girlfriend. You act like a wife. Correct? Don't worry, we have been serious. You are in for a buffet this year. Praise the Lord. And our brothers too. Balance. 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 I love God, but I'm suffering. Balance. This is the year we will access wisdom from the throne to do well in all things. Balance. Praying in tongues and you are not doing anything about taking care of your family. There are many brothers that are not ready to settle down. Being old in age is not the requirement for settling down. It is the ability to understand the cost implication of life. Hallelujah. So you have to be visionary and focused. Go and get a notebook. There are some of us, get more than a notebook. Get a room. Get a room. Get out of your friend's room and find your room. Trust God for grace. Release your faith. Gather some money and get a room of your own. Where will I get mattress? Start with a bed sheet on the ground. Learn the honor of diligence. All this waiting for a job to bail you out is the thing that sponsors carelessness. The power of God is released when you get out. Get out! There are young people that should pack out of their parents' house this year. And there are parents that should call the young people and say, look, I had the message Apostle preached and I love you with all my heart. I love you too much to leave you in this house. Go. Daddy, what if I die? Go and die there. Go. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Then certain levels of decorum will come. Then once it is 7, you will go back home. You are learning to be a good father. It's because there is a friend whose room you are staying and they are cooking for you. That's why you can return back home 11 o'clock with no reason. That is already an atmosphere for unfaithfulness. You have a room, you learn maintenance, you can lock your room. The day you forget and they steal your rechargeable, you have learned. You have learned responsibility through the things you have suffered. And that is a good lesson because now it will help you to be serious. There are too many children, old children, believing that just because age is going, they are wise. We have to sit down. Say, I will be focused. In the name of Jesus. So be visionary, be focused. You are a pastor, settle down. What has God called me to do? Not I'm an apostle today, I'm an evangelist tomorrow. I think briefly prophetic came on me. What are you to the body? Settle down. You are a businessman. What do you do? I do everything. No, sir, you will fail. Be focused. Be focused. Get a clear direction for your life. Lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me. You can't do everything. Ladies, calm down. Settle down. This is the direction my life is taking. Oh, I'm going to be serious. Oh, this is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm a graduate now. Am I working or am I doing business? Or am I doing both? Okay, what am I doing? I need to be focused. I need to buy a book and be serious. Oh, I notice that every time money comes, I waste it with friends. We don't drink, we don't smoke, but we waste money. It's still sin. Are we together? Right now, when money comes, I notice I'm a worker in Koinonia. Instead of wasting money, let me buy one suit. And now start looking like a gentleman. The day your glory comes, you don't have the attire for it.
Number 7.
In this year 2018, spend time building your spirit man and your mind. Spend time, invest, in fact, that's really the word. Invest time building your spirit man and your mind. Buy clothes, look good. But brothers and sisters, only buy clothes and look good when your spirit is alive and your mind is alive. Packaging without content should live your life this year. All this spending hilarious money to buy things and prove things that are not in your spirit and not in your mind. Make sure that a life, a fake life, leaves you this year. Build your spirit man. As a woman, build your spirit man. As a man, build your spirit man. Through prayers, the study of the word, and relevant materials. Let me tell you where many of us have stopped. Prayers and Bible. Bible is not the word, it contains the word. There are other materials that contain the word explained to be relevant to your future. Don't just carry Bible and read any part of it and think you are growing. No, you need books that explain things to you. Get books, get videos. Some of you may need to budget for a laptop this year. You don't have a television yet, budget for a laptop. You can sell 2 or 3 of your shoes and buy a laptop. Shoes that don't bring anything. Let's be serious. Invest in your spirit. Let me tell you what will happen. Many people who are used to packaging will laugh at you, but I guarantee you, your spirit and your mind, like power twins, will return everything you are paying for now 1,000 times. Number what? Number 8. Pay attention to your health and your physical well-being. Please write it down. When God gave me this word, I repented 1,000 times before God, before even jotting it down. Pay attention to your health and your physical well-being. You can't pay attention to your spirit. Pay attention to your mind. And the body that will keep them here, you are careless with it. That means you are ready to exit. Pay attention to your health. Paying attention to your health is not buying hilariously expensive creams that are beyond your power now. That's not paying attention to your health. You can start at whatever level you have, you are now. Instead of buying all kinds of things, you can buy fruits, natural things. Correct? Yes. Instead of taking 5 Coca-Cola in a day, buy carrots, buy apple, watermelon. Meet the welfare after the service for any information that can help you on your health. Let's walk as if we want to live long. Exercise. Truly speaking, exercise. God challenged me on these things, and I will tell you as He did for me. Exercise. Take advantage of your life, your health. Work on it. Believers are careless with their health. We allow all kinds of sicknesses come. You are feeling sharp pains around your body. I'm a man of faith, but what is wrong with looking at someone and say, oh, there's a sharp pain? No, just to verify, okay, this and that. Oh, we notice, wow, we found out that there's something there. Okay, so this is what the enemy wants to put in my body. Let's work together. But many believers will go on and be talking things that can be managed at infancy. Now later gets to a complicated case, and they deny men of God sleep with disturbance because of something that wisdom could manage. Please take your health seriously. You know when you are sick. God gave us brains. You know your body before and during sickness. Something is wrong. Deal with it. Take care of your body. Take care of your health. Number 9. Press for financial freedom. Press for financial freedom.
pay attention to the details that will empower you. I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, do not allow anybody trivialize to your life the relevance of being financially free. If it is God you want to serve, you want to have time for God, your family and your destiny, press for financial freedom. We have a lot of teachings on that wise that will come this year. There already are teachings. Get financial dominion. Get the wealthy place. Other auxiliary teachings. Success systems. The gift of men. Activating seasons of favor. Activating seasons of breakthrough. Settle down with it. I understand the media is working on a dedicated web page to arrange some of the sermons topically so that it's easy. They make it easy. If you are looking for topics on finances, they are all the messages there, so you can download them. Believers, poverty will distract us from living a fruitful life. I repeat, poverty will distract us. Lack will distract us. Living from hand to mouth will never allow us grow spiritually and live a life of health and soundness. Depression is eating up Christians, tongue-talking Christians, because they have to worry about where tea and bread will come from. By the grace of God, God has empowered us as leaders in this ministry with enough intelligence to be able to contribute and bring supply. I am a balanced man of God. I don't believe in people getting anointed and healing the sick and remaining poor. Why choose when everything is in the same table? It is the life of God. Please and please, especially our dear brothers, let us trust God to press towards financial freedom. Don't say I'm too young. Don't say God will make a way. Just like a callous, irresponsible statement. Let's settle down and trust God to work our salvation, financially speaking, in fear and trembling. You don't work out your finances by hustling. This is the year when hustlers will pay for it. Doing everything in the strength of the flesh. No, thou shalt hear a voice from behind. The secret to financial prosperity is not business. I've told you, the secret to financial prosperity is not a job. The secret to financial prosperity is understanding. Understanding. That is the first thing you seek. Understanding first. Getting a job and doing business is giving your understanding a physical expression to now deliver the results. There are many people doing business, getting jobs with no understanding. We live in an economy that many of us do not understand God's financial system, and we are paying for it dearly. Please press for financial freedom this year. Start with the teachings. Listen to them again and again. The work has been done for many of us. If you pay attention to Koinonia's teachings on finances, if that's the only thing you study alone, I guarantee you will be successful. Number 10. Walk in love and be at peace with all men. Walk in love and be at peace with all men. Brothers and sisters, this is the year when all black books must be torn into pieces. Say amen. The books that we have allowed the devil to give us, all this compendium of enemies, all this attitude of cynicism, love and peace is therapeutic. This should be the year for intentional reconciliation. It will be costly to spend your life and your time being at loggerheads with people. Having love and peace will require you learning how to speak to men with honor. There are many auxiliary additions to it. It does not mean that you just live in love and peace. There are some of us, your current mindset does not have provision for peace, because the way you communicate is pungent and destructive. We must learn to culture our words through understanding. It is part of the press for living a life walking in love and peace with all men. Don't look down on anybody. Don't criticize anybody and say your father is this, you people are poor, you people are rich, you are this tribe, you are that tribe. I am your senior in secondary school, you are my junior.
have mutual respect one for another. Don't be the one receiving all the respect and having people bowing to you and you're not reciprocating. Living in love and peace will require you learning people's skills, understanding the psychological composition of living with people. Don't run somebody down and tear somebody down and think it does not matter. You look at a lady and insult her, lambast her from head to toe, and then expect that she would not be at loggerheads. Jealousy, what of gossiping? Hopping from place to place to talk about people. Bringing into your discussion matters of people that are not your concern. All these things must be well edited this year so that we can live in love and peace. And then mark people, mark their areas of vulnerability, and create a system to relate with them without being harmed by their vulnerability. There are people who will never stop gossiping. So you learn when best to see them. Greet them in church. Don't go to their house. Because it's obvious that going to their house is going to create a platform for gossiping. Let the meeting place be church and church alone. Are we together? Finally, love the body of Christ. The last instruction I will give you for this year. Genuinely love the body of Christ. Never criticize. Never castigate any man of God. Never castigate any ministry. Don't join bloggers to tear down men of God. Doesn't mean that men of God and ministries are perfect. We all are not perfect. But then you cannot sow that seed of being the one to be destroying a man's destiny and a man's church, a man's ministry. Whether it was your former church, your present church, your former pastor, your present pastor, Koinonia, any church, a church in Nigeria, a church in diaspora, it doesn't matter where. Always see the light in the church. In spite of the weakness of the body, Christ is still in the midst of her. Let this be the year. There is a sin that many believers are committing. It's called the sin of fighting against the body. If nobody has told you it's sin, I want you to know that it is sin. Fighting the body of Christ through ill-spoken words, fighting a man's church, fighting a man's whatever, getting down intentionally to destroy the work of God because of poor and pungent communications is sin. And it's a very strange kind of sin, because it brings almost instant consequences. For this cause, many are weak. For this cause, many are sick. And for this cause, many do sleep. What is their sin? Not discerning the body. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, God has announced to us that this is a year of signs and wonders. I believe it. And I know that you believe it, and we are going to pray and speak this into our lives. There are many developments that have happened in the ministry. I'm going to be announcing them shortly. But then I want us to rise up on our feet now, and we are going to pray this prophetic word into our lives. You have heard the word. You have heard the instructions that have come from the word. I want you to open your notebook. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. Open your notebook and pray these 11 instructions into your life. Forget about the signs and wonders. It will be the result of this. Open the notebooks one by one and look at it and cry to the God of heaven. Go ahead and pray. Pray it. Pray it into your life. Pray it into your life. Don't be silent, brothers and sisters. Pray it into your life. I receive grace to love and seek the Lord. Shabakato bakarato sadabaliakata. Intimacy. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. I receive grace for intimacy. In the name of Jesus Christ. I obey and I serve Him. I obey and I serve Him. I obey and I serve Him. Pray those 11 things into your heart. Be childlike enough and pray them. And watch the God of heaven arise for you. You have 5 minutes. Prophesy them into your life. Lord, I obtain the grace. I obtain the grace. I obtain the grace. I am intentional about bringing men to Jesus. I am intentional about bringing men to Jesus. I decree and declare that this year I am visionary. I am focused. I am visionary. I am focused. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I spend time building my spirit man. Go ahead and pray. I spend time building my mind. I pay attention to my health. I pay attention to my physical well-being. I shall not die. I live long, and I do the things that make for long life. In the name of Jesus, I pay attention to my health. I press for financial freedom. I reject poverty. I reject lack. I reject financial weakness. In the name of Jesus, God has made all grace abound to me, so that I, having all sufficiency in all things, that I abound unto all good works. In the name of Jesus, I decree. The Bible says, declare that he might be justified. Declare it in prayer. I walk in love. I'm at peace with all men. No enmity, no jealousy, no backbiting, no tearing down another. In the name of Jesus, this is the year when my life will lift everyone up. This is the year when my words will lift everyone up. No destroying the destinies of men. I love the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I love the body of Christ. I am part of the body of Christ. I honor the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I'd like you to declare and say, Father, no battle this year will bring me down to the ground. Lift your voice and declare, victorious all through, from January to December, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. My life becomes a sign and a wonder. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper. No tongue rising up against me will succeed. When men say there is a casting down, my declaration is that there is a lifting up. Pray. Pray. Sheka pakata pakoro sekete mariana balana balanamo. En brekete kala poka shakata pakarata ketelebo. No defeat, no defeat, victorious by the blood of Jesus. No defeat, no defeat, no defeat, no defeat. My year of signs and wonders, no defeat in any area of life. In the name of Jesus, no defeat. Hallelujah. Two more prayer points very quickly. Hallelujah. I like us as a family to pray for one sign to start up the year. Lord, strange favor. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, let that be the sign. We agree with you, oh God, as a ministry. Give us the sign. The first sign for the year. Undeniable favor. Favor with men. Favor with systems. Favor with institutions. Favor with governmental personalities.
Let favor bring us revelations from the realm of the spirit. Let favor bring us strange dimensions of influence. Let it be a sign and a token, O God, that will follow every one Koinonia member all through this year. We declare favor. We prophesy favor. We release favor. We declare favor. We prophesy favor. We release favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last prayer point. That the God of suddenlies that arises overnight. Listen, I want us to pray for a quick walk, not just favor. Lord, arise a quick walk in the lives of people. Lift your voice and pray. God of suddenlies. God of suddenlies. It says suddenly there was a sound, suddenly an emergence, suddenly a job, suddenly an admission, sudden marriage, sudden children, sudden lifting, sudden anointing. Lord, compress time, compress time. Give your people speed. We invoke you, the God of suddenly. Arise, O God, in this year of signs and wonders. Let it not be according to time. Let it be according to your power. Let it not be according to time. Let it be according to your power. Come on, invoke the God of the suddenly. Arise for me, O God, my helper, Ebenezer. Arise, wipe the tears of those that cry. Silence the lips of mockers. Suddenly, let the lifting come. It's called a year of signs and wonders. Lord, defy the laws of nature. Defy the laws of nature. Arise for people. Change their levels spiritually. Change their levels financially. Don't be tired, we are praying. Restore honor to your people. Restore glory to your people. Oh God, I cry to you. Arise. Listen, we're rounding up. Look at me. There is the natural progression of life. Are we together? But Bible says a mystery can happen when the sower and the reaper, as you are sowing, you are receiving harvest. That time can actually be removed in an equation. It's not ungodly. God leaves time to teach us wisdom. But when we have gotten the wisdom, he can take away the time equation and say, look, I'm giving you speed. There are things in people's lives that if it is according to time, they may never do much. Is that true? Time. A woman who has been barren for 8 years does not need one child. When God gives her triplets once, he has given her 8 years. This is speed. Are we together? There are people who graduated 20 years ago, they have not gotten a job. If you get a job of 40,000, please tell me, in how many years will you buy cement? You need speed. Brothers and sisters, there is a name God is called. He's called the God of the suddenness. I don't know if you believe this thing, or that a man can sleep in the prison and by the next day be a prime minister. That a nation can be dying of recession and by the next day food goes almost for nothing. Is that true? That apostles can be timidly hiding in the upper room and by the next day they are filled with power moving. Have you not heard that a nation can give birth in one day? A woman, birth is supposed to be 9 months, but God said, I can do something that will make a nation give birth in one day. We are still going to pray this prayer and say, Lord, bring speed to my life. Be the God of the suddenness. Settle the issues in my life so that I can have time to serve you. settle my life, oh God. Maritally, settle my life, oh God. Financially, settle my life, oh God. I want to have the time to serve you. Lord, let the promotion come speedily. Let the spiritual dimension come speedily. Lord, let the gift be at work in my life speedily. Let that level of anointing come to my life speedily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just give me a few seconds. I want you to make an announcement to principalities and powers that this is not the year for dragging. It's a year when you match things and move. Look, the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Elijah did not meet any obstacle on the way. Listen, I'd like you to release your faith with someone near you and challenge every devil that has been programmed to obstruct your work. Satan has a mysterious way of keeping people at a position. Challenge every power. Challenge every devil. Lord, I declare, no obstacle on my way. God of Jeshurun, arise. Go before me like a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire consuming everything that is not of God. Yokes from darkness, the scourging tongues of men, divinations, manipulations in the dark world, I decree and declare, the God that is as a pillar of fire is against you. Is against you. My God is a consuming fire. My God is a consuming fire. Burn everything that stands to delay your purposes in my life. Go ahead and pray. This is for your glory, O God. Everything. It has never happened in my family. I'm the first to do it in this year. My life will be a sign and a wonder for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. God knows the reason why he made a miracle service immediately after the first service. Next week is miracle service, and I believe God did it intentionally, because I'm trusting God that we will receive something by next week, truly speaking, that will project people in. It's not all about just deliverance. This is impartation. There is something you need to receive for the journey, that you will run like Elijah and no devil will be able to stand you. Hallelujah. Everyone keep standing. Our time is gone. We've spoken about souls. There are people here, overflow 1, 2, 3,
wherever you are. You started this year not even knowing you will leave, and God kept you. There are people who came here by invitation. Others may have been here in Koinonia. You've seen what God has done. You've seen what God does all the time. Listen carefully. Tonight I want to give you an invitation. No cajoling, no saying nothing. You've heard the word of God. There are people who are saying, man of God, truly speaking, I cannot start this year without a genuine decision for Jesus. There are others who are saying, man of God, I gave my life to Christ, but right now I cannot say that I am in Christ, and I want to make it right with God now. Overflow 1 and 2, you can come in. Overflow 1 and 3. Overflow 2, you can walk to the projector stand outside. Overflow 3, walk to your projector stand. You are here giving your life to Christ or rededicating your life. Our time is gone. Wherever you are, boldly make your way to the front now. Or the various projector screens that you have. Quickly. Let's give Jesus praise. Someone has to be coming out. There's got to be someone that Jesus is talking to. Please clear the way for them if there are people coming. God bless you. Let's appreciate them. They are coming. Don't wait for anybody to be the first. Be the first. God bless you. God bless you. Those outside, celebrate those who are coming out in your various projectors. Those online, you're following us from any nation of the world, it doesn't matter. I want you to take God seriously this year. We've spoken about intimacy and encounter. God bless you. Keep coming. Apostle, I think I gave my life to Christ. I'm not very sure. Join them. Join them. Join them. There is something called the assurance of salvation. Join them very quickly. Hallelujah. If there are people still coming, okay, please coordinate them. Overflow 1, 2, 3 and all the other overflows. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Please let me have your attention, especially for those at the projectors. Just pay attention to your screen. I really want to appreciate all of you for making this decision. Some of you are making a decision for the first time. Some of you are rededicating your life to Jesus. The devil is a liar this year. God has declared that it's a year of signs and wonders, and what a joy it is to lead you to Jesus Christ. Just make this genuine. It's not a poem we are reciting. Lift your right hand and say this after me very genuinely. Those online who are rededicating their lives to Jesus or giving their lives to Jesus, join us in this prayer. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I love you and I believe in you that you are the Son of God. Tonight, I have heard your word. I declare that you are Lord of my life. I declare that you are my Savior. I hand over my life to you and I receive your life in return. The life of God into my spirit. I declare that from tonight, I am free from condemnation, from sin, from the flesh, and from the power of Satan. I'm a child of God. The grace to live a victorious life is mine right now, in Jesus' name. Keep your hands lifted. Lord Jesus, I stretch my hands to these ones in front, and by extension, all those connecting here and online. I pray in the name of your dear Son that you will not only receive these ones, but the grace to live victorious Christian lives be granted them in Jesus' name. I decree and declare that your sins are forgiven and that you begin a new walk with the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I declare that it will be for you forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for this decision. I'd like you to follow someone waving her hands. There's a lady waving her hands there. I'd like you to just follow her. All of you this way, just follow her. And there will be a group of people who will talk to you.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/Koinonia Community Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_KNI. can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Eternity Network International, replicating the fullness of God's life on earth.